long does the afterglow last from Beamies?
Oh, God. I'm in the post. I'm in the section where everybody's now messaging me every stupid fight that comes up and every funny line that comes up. So the afterglow goes away very fast, if we're being perfectly honest. But no, it was fun this year. Yeah. I didn't get in trouble. That's the win. Nobody got mad.
Do you sense, in fact, that you're compelled more and more for the not the controversial, but for the most nasty dust ups from the early days when you could really have fun and point out the insanities.
Yeah.
They're kind of letting those.
The Beamies have gone a little corporate. I'm not going to lie.
There you go. There you go.
I got a spot. Yeah, a little Red Feather. Come on. I mean, this whole trip's being paid for by a little Red Feather, let's be honest. Well, and the great people at Churchill Downs Incorporated. Thank you so much, Bet America.
Oh, what did you do? You turned it off. There we go.
I think I'm back now. It's pretty cool. I thought you did a great job on the show this year, and it sounds like the reaction's been pretty strong.
Everything was great, man. No, like I said, as long as nobody gets mad, I'm happy, because everybody always seems to like the jokes. And we were pretty harmless this year. I don't want to pick it on it. I've gotten to where, to be honest, I just like seeing everybody have fun and get along. I don't like the
nastiness. Yeah, and I'm with you. It can get a little unpleasant on there. Have you thought about doing it as ever trying to do it as some sort of live component along with the internet component?
I've been invited by a few different groups to do that, and I don't think it would work. I think it would only work on Twitter. First of all, I hate being in crowds and public speaking anyway, so that's the beauty of race calling. Nobody's looking at you. and you're up above. It's that part I was always fine with it. Now, I think it exists on Twitter. I can do the show. I can do other stuff off of Twitter, but yeah.
You said you're going corporate, or it's going corporate.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
This reminds me of the Doodah Parade in Pasadena, which was the anti-Rose Parade, the one with the marching lawnmowers and the briefcase drill team.
Oh, yeah. That's kind of that's
you know
a good
happened?
Analogy.
It, too, went too corporate.
Okay.
So be careful.
Well, yeah. I don't know.
You're in the sweet spot right now.
I actually turned down a couple spots just because I didn't want it to get too...
People you'd really have to behave.
Like, I know Billy and Gary from Little Red Feather really well, and so, like, I knew I couldn't upset them.
Right.
And then
proper horse players.
Yeah, Sim Horse Racing was doing it. So it's like,
Well, let's be honest. I mean, who has more potential for satire than Billy?
I love Billy.
Billy is as ripe as there is for poking fun.
but we'll take it.
Yes.
Billy's a great sport. I love Billy. Nothing but good things to say about Billy. And actually, it was Gary that approached me about the whole thing. Gary's kind of a buddy. And so
guys here? I know Gary plays
tournaments. Gary was in the contest.
Yeah.
In fact, I talked to Gary about 10 minutes ago, and he was getting ready to fly out. So
not a good day.
Yeah, he told me, he said, I think the analogy he used was, he's the AAA pitcher that just got lit up and has to go back to Albany.
It's a feeling that many will have at this point. You've got... just the full array of emotions here, from those who are despondent, those who are super excited, those who are feeling half sick, and then you've got some confident people really looking forward to taking their crack at their share of nearly $3 million tomorrow.
There's a big collection of folks who really are kind of just here for the fun experience and the Vegas trip, but I would say that's the minority. I would say that's like 20%, 30%.
Yeah, it might be higher than that.
Yeah.
Because of the fact that you have to qualify and can't buy in, there are many people for whom the prize is the trip and getting to hang out and talk horses for 3 days. And they don't really, they're going to take their shots and they're not going to consider themselves dead money. But I think there's a large portion of the field that can't win, in my opinion, just because it's such a hard contest that it's just not going to suit a whole lot of players. And that's one of the reasons why I think you'll see, I mean, there's a lot of what you might consider advantage-type players up there on the board, and that is most certainly not an accident, despite a format that they can't exert as much control over as they can in the live bank games.
Yeah, it's... same thing with the world. The famous line around here: why do you see the same nine guys at the final table? Which obviously isn't the case, but the sharper players are going to more often than not do well. And I mean, you have to run good in this tournament. Like, you can make great bets all weekend long and have a bad weekend. Like, it is entirely possible. But it's fun to watch it unfold. It's fun to see all the personalities and. And shout out Jim from Edmonton.
Look at you. Come on. Go get it, Jim.
Go get him.
Jim Stir. Unbelievable. Jim Stir.
That's Jim Stir.
And he's beside himself. He has been digging his toes in and clawing his way.
Yeah, clawing my way. And one bullet left.
Do you know where you're going to fire? You got two opportunities.
I'm going to look right now.
Right, well, we won't bother you now, excited. But let us know who to root for.
Thank you guys so much. This is the most fun I've ever. And I listen to all you guys. The DRF, Steve Bick every day, Jason Beam, and we all, in VEASAN we trust.
Beautiful, beautiful stuff.
Thanks a lot, guys.
Godspeed.
Hey, Jimmy, come over. Come stand over here. And we'll get you a picture on this side. Come here.
Let the man handicap.
Pete, there we go. No, Pete, lean in, Pete.
Yeah, come on. There,
come on. What are you doing?
All right, let's do it.
Nice. Got it.
Okay.
Go get it. That's the lucky picture. Oh.
Amazing scenes. Yeah, there you go. Then you get the whole crew. That's how it's done.
When he paced them all together in a big, you know, it'll all look like one big Last Supper by the time we get done here.
This is kind of the horse racing radio convention we're having right now.
It really
here.
Is. This is pretty,
that's true, actually.
It's pretty fun. I mean,
that's a good point.
If we get Kitchen out of the basement, we can finalize this deal.
I just need to get you on my podcast. I've got all the other guys on my podcast. Yeah. We all be on each other's shows.
Who do you think's my Tuesday guest?
There you go.
PDF's already booked.
I'm looking forward to it. Got a nice reaction from your visit pre-Beamies.
Great,
had a lot of fun. We went all over the map in our conversations.
We covered a lot of ground. We covered mental health. We covered everything.
It's a very important topic for horse players. It's very easy. We were talking before about
believe me,
power,
it is for
positivity.
Announcers.
Yeah. That's a hard job. That's a hard job.
I got it now, Jason, and for Pete too, and for Steve. Have you guys found? Because I've been wondering about this weekend. Is there any withdrawal? Any Johnny Avella withdrawal? Because there's no real good future prices on the Kentucky Derby now that he's gone and his numbers got taken down by CDI down at DraftKings in Mississippi, and you've only got the William Hill numbers here.
I just look at the UK markets. You know, I mean, I think that's. That's a pretty darn good barometer. I mean, I find those markets to be a little more.
But you get to go over there and play them, though.
Yeah, but even just for discussion or whatever, right? Yeah. I mean, withdrawal certainly in terms of if you're actually looking to make a bet, because it's just not practical right now.
It's hard.
See, I'm not team futures.
You don't like to play them?
No, I don't know. I feel like they're more about bragging rights than money in a lot of. Cases.
Well, I think with as lousy as a lot of the prices are unavailable, I mean, you know, I'll include the tote bets in this, I agree. But over there, it's another world. I mean, it's just a great way to follow the sport, to create fans, to create interest, and really tie together sort of the fan side and the gambling side. I think it's something that fixed odds future betting here, if they could get that done.
Oh, my.
I mean, that's a lot of people who'd have to cooperate, but. Pat Cummings of Thoroughbred Idea Foundation believes that there's a legal argument to be made for it. Obviously, there's a ton of politics that would have to happen. I think it could really help the game here, but part and parcel of that is getting good prices. If you're getting the worst of it, then it becomes just bragging rights, and that's not so interesting.
Well, the perfect example of that is that Coliseum was put up at 125-1 by Johnny Avello in the 3 days that he had the numbers up down at Scarlet Pearl in Biloxi this past month. At the same time, he was 7-1 at William Hill. And William Hill said they had exposure that brought them to 7-1. I think he's 8 now. But, I mean, come on. Why would you even bet anything? Frankly, I don't look at anything less than 75-1 at this point. And I've got a few tickets out there. I got Moretti, I think, because Pletcher always gets some, you know, a million horses to the gate. Figure there's a shot there.
Gotta be in it to win it.
Win. I got because of the high buyer. You know, I mean, I got a few out there. I took Kentucky Wildcat, and we'll see what happens there. So I got all of these at decent prices, but, you know, it's what you said. I mean, are you doing it for the ego, or are you doing it for, you know, I mean, I got an audible to the gate last year. That was a 200-1, so I'm saying, all right, that was
it. That's pretty good equity.
That's a good bet, right?
It was, but I wasn't, no, I didn't, it didn't cash, but it was, I had some hope. I would
definitely had the best of it there.
Yeah.
A lot better than betting
on the
day.
That's been one of my big realizations in the sport is realizing, you know, how often that you can lose good bets. And I don't think
1,000%.
I don't think that's something that I was taught much as a younger racing person? I don't think it's something that's taught much outside of, I know you guys talk about it, we talk about it, and you guys talk about it. I think it's an important lesson for people to learn. I think people get so fixated on, especially with their big pick fours and pick fives, they play these huge spread tickets. I got to hit. No, you got to hit right.
Yeah.
You know,
you got to focus on the decisions that you make, not the outcomes that you get.
True.
And that's one of the great lessons from poker. We were talking about it with Dave Goodfriend yesterday. If you let that go, it's eventually going to be a road to ruin, even if you're running hot.
It's the same thing in sports betting. I mean, I'm sitting there looking to hedge on the Patriots during the Super Bowl, and when I really just should just let it ride. I'm just looking to have a little fun. Again, right. It's ego to a great extent. I had a dumb hedge. Still made money for the day, but if I hadn't hedged it, I would have made more.
And at the end of the day, you know, money not lost is the same thing as money won. If you're betting all the time at the end of the year, but nobody thinks about it that way. The $20 that you save when you don't make a dumb bet.
Yeah.
You know, that's if you can repeat that 100 times in a year, that's, you know,
so
money you could use.
What's my bet on when I bet Virginia today against Duke? Oops, man, there's another one out that wins, you know, so. What are you going
to
do?
We're getting ready to go into the gate here at Golden Gate. There's an atmosphere in the room. There's some people taking their last shot here, legs stretching, looking at these TVs.
Tell Casey to take...
Casey, it'd be great if we can take the Golden Gate ninth.
I can do a Dinnerman impression, too, if you want.
Prince, the last two to load in. Arch Prince goes it, so does 6-point rack. We're ready to go for race nine, an allowance. Southern Thunder a little revved up in there, ready to rumble. Settling down. And Leroff, tuned to win, hopped in the air at the start, took up two, and is now at the back of the field. Gray Gem is early zip. He's going right to the lead. And Gray Gem takes it to him from the word go. Armor played off the layoff away in second. Arch Prince a joint third with Southern Thunder and 6-point rack, who's about four deep around the clubhouse turn. Limebird in the purple jacket is next, third last ahead of two runners. Run Like Red on the inside, and tuned to win after taking up the start is last, and he's about 10 lengths off the pace with 3/4 of a mile to go. Gray Gem, offensive-minded on the inside, has the lead, goes at a swift clip, too, and he shows the way by a half length. Southern Thunder tugs his rider to be a joint second with 6-point rack, who's three deep. They're moving right along here, and that trio is about two lengths ahead of Arch Prince outside of Armor Plate off the break. A gap of a length and a half to Limebird, settling in the third last position, going pretty well at this point as they hit the half-mile pole in a space of two to Run Like Red and tune to win those two at the back of the field as they approach the far turn. Gray Gem has to work for it every step of the way today. He's still on top, tries to increase the lead, and opens up the lead to a length and a half. Southern Thunder under a hard ride with 6-point rack, who's also under pressure. A break of two to Arch Prince being shaken up to go, and he's making a move now. There goes Arch Prince on the far outside. He swings four wide for the stretch drive. Limebird's following him. He's trying to make a bid. Will be caught very wide turning for home coming off that turn. Tune to win in traffic, so is Run Like Red off the turn. Gray Jim has to keep going. Arch Prince, Limebird down the far outside, look good at the half mile pole, and here he comes. He puts that head down and strides out, and look at Limebird just breeze to the front, and Limebird opening up another impressive run. Look at this guy go. Limebird going really well right now, and he scores by 2.5 lengths. Arch Prince second, third goes to Run Like Red, and then Gray Gem and Armor Plate.
3-1 over 2-1.
Still could really matter when we get to that cut line. And, boy, they just put an update after Santa Anita Race 11. And as predicted, dimes separating players and some big names right on the line right now, including Paul Sherman and Garrett Skiba fighting for their tournament lives. I would think Sherman will have a play left in the last. He might have had one there, too. And if you're him, that's a haveable, either one of those horses is haveable, and even the place on a favorite could be the difference between playing in the consolation tomorrow and playing in the semifinals trying to make your way to the final table.
Well, here we are moving toward the 60s, and 50th is good for 188.60. That's Dino Herrera, and here's Blake Jesse has moved himself into DeLuch team, and here you go. We're getting into the 185 range, the cut. Skiba tied 182.20 with Bill Hallowis, and
ties advance, I believe. I believe it will.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, they would. I'm sure they would.
So that's pretty cool. Jason, I know you got to get out of here pretty soon.
I got a hot date with Ed DeRosa for dinner.
Nice. Where are you guys going?
The Capitol Grill. To quote Ed, we're going to see what the Capitol Grill is all about.
Gotcha.
If he says that one more time.
Steve, this might surprise you. Ed does beat things to death once in a while.
Really? You think so?
Yeah, he's done that
before. Give me your top five of things Ed has beaten to death.
If you guys don't know, that was the greatest response of all time.
And the Capitol Grill you need to go to is in D.C., where the actual Capitol Grill is. That's where you...
It's good here.
I'm sure it is. Listen, all the things that we... Rouse is good here, and you know everything that came from somewhere else. And
we're going to Hattie B's tomorrow. You
know, nice. That's what he said. He said your guys were going to go to Nashville style.
Milk Bar, I got to get a cookie from there.
That's good stuff.
Yeah, Milk Bar's fine.
Italian, go to Nora's on Flamingo, west of the 15.
Okay.
Sounds like good local knowledge.
Yeah, we went out to someplace in Summerlin a couple weeks ago when I was down here that was pretty tasty.
You know, Duke, where did I put this? Duke found a place in the Cosmo that he says nobody knows about. That's terrific. It's like it's got some music and it's got casual dining, it's got regular dining. And it's got a kind of a funky name. It's like three names, you know, like Bell Book and Candle, but it's
I've noticed the new trend in restaurants is to be two words, like fork and knife, pork and barrel, street and, you know, whatever.
Street and Smith's.
In Seattle, it's like every restaurant now is two names. It's weird. Just an observation.
I like it.
Sturm and Drang. Yeah.
Sturm and Drang. That'd be a great German beer bar name, by the way.
Gordon Birch.
There's another one.
There's one here. I saw Gordon Birch over here. We got to hadn't been to Lotus's new location. Lotus of Siam.
Yeah.
Which
still
is
good?
Oh my God, good. I mean, it's ridiculous how good it is.
I missed that dinner.
It's the best Thai restaurant in the country, and it's been the best part is when it was the best Thai restaurant in the country
in the strip mall.
In the strip mall that was falling apart around it.
Yeah.
It's unbelievable. I mean, they literally moved only when the roof collapsed. That's true from what I understand.
I went to a place in San Francisco called House of Nanking with my cousin in Chinatown, and it's this little sliver of a building, and he goes, we're going to have the best Chinese food in the West Coast. And I go, oh, okay, great. He goes, no, I'm serious. And then, of course, it's amazing, but Lotus Siam was the same thing. Like it looks like the place where you would go to, like, you know, get your dentist appointment or something. I mean, it's like a tiny
It was a strip mall. Yeah. It was the only business left in the center, too, over by the needle, over by the Space Needle. Unbelievable. Food was just exquisite. Stratosphere, thank you.
Space Needle's our town.
Space Needle, you know, what do I know?
Looks Emerald same. Downs calling you with the Space
Needle. Oh, man.
Exactly. 14 minutes to the nightcap at Golden Gate, and then we will have our lineup. Jason Beam, as always.
I got to run, guys. It's always
cheers,
great
buddy.
To see you. I'll see you guys tomorrow.
Absolutely. We'll see you tomorrow. And Ron Flatter, appreciate it as well. And let's do this. A perfect place, Pete, to take our last break of the afternoon. And now I think we can actually call it the evening because it's 8:15 back at home in the East Coast. So let's take a timeout here, and we'll be back to the ballroom, the big ballroom, where a lot of people have pretty much become resigned to their fate, Pete, and we'll talk to some of them probably while we wait for things to go official after the last. And this is a group actually of nine horses. There's a 6-5 favorite, but then after that 4-1, 7-1, 7-1, there's 2 9-1s, so there's some more potential here for some excitement.
More changes yet to come.
There we go, back after this.
Latest racing news. It's At the Races with Steve Bick on Sirius XM Radio.
There are places where being who you are is a punishable offense. These places have many names, but the ones who flee have one. Refugee. And it is in the name of the refugee that Hyas has dedicated itself for the last 130 years. Created in the name of the Jewish people, 4.5 million rescued and resettled so far. When they said, give us your tired, your poor, your huddled masses yearning to breathe free, we were the ones at the docks helping them breathe free. Only now it's a farmer from Darfur, a shop owner from Syria, a family from Ukraine, child from Colombia, a Christian from Iran, a gay man from Uganda.
The 65 million souls who still wander the earth in search of sanctuary. Why? Maybe it's because being Jewish means you don't have to be reminded never to forget. Hias, for the refugee.
Visit HIAS.org to understand the mission and support the work of Hias.
Why is accreditation important in aftercare? The Thoroughbred Aftercare Alliance's standard of accreditation and grant process provide donors with confidence that their contributions are allocated in the most effective manner. TAA accreditation is only awarded after a complete review of an organization. Aftercare cannot be an afterthought for the industry. To learn more or support the TAA's mission, visit thoroughbredaftercare.org.
Do you want unlimited access to handicapping without exorbitant prices? Then BrizNet.com has you covered with a variety of plans for past performances, pedigree, and raw data. The BrizNet.com Performance Plan offers unlimited PDF past performances for just $75 per month and is available at BrizNet.com/PP. American Produce Records Online puts the pedigrees of nearly 1 million dams and more than 2 million foals at your fingertips, plus sire stats, for only $275 per year and is available at BrizNet.com/APR. The BrizNet.com data plan offers unlimited access to race day data files, perfect for handicappers with their own database or to plug into other people's programs. The data plan is just $125 per month. Visit BrizNet.com for all this information and more, and discover why BrizNet.com is the handicapper's edge.
Sirius XM Sports presents At the Races with Steve Bick. Horse racing, handicapping, interviews. This is At the Races with Steve Bick.
We're back talking to Adam Aiken, and Adam, of course, one of the really fun stories at Pegasus.
Yes.
And came over to say hi, and he's right on the cut line. And Adam, come here, grab the mic,
sit down. Tell us where you are.
Right now, I'm sitting in 68th place, $1.20.
Oh my
behind
god!
The cutoff.
Oh my god! You have a play, obviously.
I have an idea of a play.
Okay.
I hope it works out. I was going to play the two in the last race, but I sat at the machine and I said, you know what? Jonathan Wong's already won five races today. I'm not going to take a chance with him winning a six. And I'll be honest, I've maybe bet Golden Gate once ever in my life.
Gotcha. Wow.
Let's
make the second one a winner here.
I'd have to run to my PPs to find out... to go make my play.
Gotcha.
And cross my fingers.
I like it. We'll
Adam, where are you from?
I'm from Springfield, Massachusetts.
Oh, you're really?
Yes.
Born and raised?
Actually, born and raised from Torrington, Connecticut, northwest corner of Connecticut.
Wow. We got all kinds of cross purpose. I mean, I'm from Manchester, and my dad built the housing in Torrington and in Springfield. My first job was with Forbes and Wallace. We had laundromats in Springfield.
Very cool.
The Kadima to East Longmeadow.
Yeah.
Gus and Paul's. Please.
Gus and Paul's. Not to get off track, but Gus and Paul's, great bakery and place to eat, but they closed down. It's really horrible. There's too many violations. They have to close down.
How old are you?
I'm 42.
Oh, okay. So, all right. I thought you were younger. Even younger. That's too funny. I love Springfield.
Nice.
I can Wilbraham, you
the
name it.
I've
been all over. I spent a lot of time.
You should go make your bet, and
yes,
then tell us who you bet, and we'll root you in the last race.
My PPs
know what you're doing
are down
already?
In the race book.
Okay.
I'm probably going to go with the six.
Gotcha.
I just hope that whoever's in 69th place and 67th place isn't missing. But I appreciate
somebody
it.
Somebody might be out of bullets at this point.
True. That's what I'm.
You're in ultimate play what you like territory.
I saved
here.
For this reason. So
yeah.
Luckily.
That's great. All right, well, go get your bet in. Don't mess around with that. And then, you know, we'll talk in a while. Cheers, buddy. Very cool.
Yes.
Nice to have a visit. Nice to hopefully have another Rude here going with the six horse in race 10, the amazing 10th race at Golden Gate, which will close it out. A lot of people still in this ballroom for sure.
That's great.
What are you guys talking about?
Sort of know each other. I mean, just I've heard from Craig before, and too funny. Too funny.
Nice.
Excellent. Well done. Well done. Get in. Buddy. Get him in.
Yeah, let's see what he can do. Looking at the six, Adam Aiken, currently, as of the last leaderboard update, 75th, but 181. So right there. I would assume even a place has a very good chance, with as tight as this leaderboard is, of pushing him up over the top and into play tomorrow.
There are so many names that are going to be fresh and new. It's remarkable.
It's very cool to see the great blend that we have of experienced players and folks that we're just getting to learn about for the first time, one of whom, my friend Michael Zapin, was kind enough to send me a tweet from America's Best Racing about John Pinder, who we were talking about before, a rookie, father of two from Texas, in third place overall going into the last mandatory and still pretty high up there. Be fun to see him and what he can do as we move into play tomorrow. Certainly going to make it. Currently, as of the last update, in eighth place with 229.20, John Pinder of Texas.
And I'm just looking at the picture I put up, and I didn't put up the best picture of you and Joe. A little blurry. I'm disappointed.
Fix it for Facebook.
I've got a quite a nice Roto Graveur here to put up
I
later.
Like it.
All right?
I like it.
From
we've
a
had
fun,
a lot of
fun,
guests.
Fun day. Yeah, it's been in fact, we should really go through and make sure I've got everybody properly ID'd. Let's ID this group of horses with 5 minutes to post to close out the racing today. And then we'll be that much closer to having our field of 67, maybe 68 with ties. We'll see about that. There was a dead heat about an hour ago, so in New York, so there might be dead heats here as well. And the group, with now 3 minutes to post, Golden Gate, we're looking at a 5-2 favorite, Kopitar, Bill Adelia, 5-2, and had been a 3-1 morning line second choice, because there had been a 9-5 favorite, Ed Mojer Jr. We had Ed Sr. earlier. Maddie's Thunderbird, Tapizar, 3-1 currently. You got a 3-1 on Reyna Gonzalez's Beat the Chalk. So kind of a grouping, Pete. 5-2, 3-1, 3-1. That's that scenario we talk about, that time to go, you know, looking elsewhere.
Yeah, it all depends on where you are on the board. For the amazing amount of people near the bubble, I think you're just going to pick who you like and pray, and place points might even get you there. It's going to be decided by tens and twenties of cents at this point, so just any little nudge in the right direction. But if you're farther back and you're trying to make that big move to get to the cut, it's tough because it's so tightly banded that there's going to be people ahead of you. You need to go for a longer price than just whatever the raw math says that you need. So that's going to be factoring into a lot of the decisions. A lot of nervous energy in the ballroom, a lot of people standing, and I'm pretty sure these are mostly people. I don't think they've just moved on. I think if you're moving on to socializing, you probably want to be somewhere else at the moment. Probably a lot of people left with skin in the game here.
Nick Tamaro, touching base.
Indeed. We're going to try to meet up for dinner a little bit later, hoping to squeeze in a visit with Gil Alexander. Speaking of VSiN hosts, Gil has been a big broadcasting influence on me and has become a friend. It's great out here. You get a chance to see so many different people. The only trouble is finding any sleep at Vegas.
Well, and even if you schedule properly, you could still get victimized and end up you know, I was up at midnight. I mean, I just that's just what it, I, nothing I can do.
Yeah.
I,
when you're on if, the if you 4 get up or 5 a.m.
Yeah,
East Coast,
exactly. You're just that's just the way it is. I'm trying. I hadn't looked at this race, and it didn't. I didn't realize when I was doing the organization this morning and laying out, you know, all the quick sheets and everything else. Didn't print every tomorrow. I've already got everything printed for tomorrow, including the final table races and all the races that are available at the six tracks that we'll be using in the semifinal. But this Golden Gate group, I'm curious about a little bit, and I want to pull up my pages and see what I can glean here with just a couple of minutes yet to post on this 10th race. And here we go. All right.
Want me to roll through the top 10?
Yeah, go ahead. Go ahead and do that as I look through this.
I'm trying to remember when the last time we did this. I think I did it off air and not on air. Robert Gilbert still in first, 289. But at one point today, when he was at 289, he was almost a cap horse ahead of the field. Now, less than $10 because Randy Gallo, pro player, advantage player, guy I interviewed years ago for a book called Six Secrets of Successful Bettors, and I hit it off with it instantly, is now in second with 279.80. Chris Littlemore, last year's champ, amazing story, 241. Fourth and fifth, two guys who've won the Horse Player World Series and are bidding to add an NHC to their resumes. Jim Meeks in fourth, Christian Helmers in fifth. Both of them are right around 236. Steve Siminovic in sixth place, 235.40. We talked about the great day that Cheryl Tayala has had. She's in seventh with 230.80. John Pinder, we talked about him, the rookie. Eighth place, 229.20. Tim Jacobs led for a long time yesterday, has had another excellent day, 228.20. And Richard Scott Coles, 226.80. That rounds out your top 10 right now. But I think really more eyes at the moment are on the cut line than they are at the top of the leaderboard. Right now that cut, 182.20. Feels like that 185 guess is going to be pretty good.
That's through the 11th at Santa Anita, so it does not include the Golden Gate 8th and 9th.
Yeah.
Yes, and I'll tell you right now, the horse to bet here, if you're looking, if you need a boost, is the 8 horse, Harper's Gem.
Do tell.
Just a horse that actually has gotten better on the synthetic and has improved in the move from Manuel Landeros to Ricardo Perez, and there isn't a huge difference, it doesn't look like, in the two of them from a training percentage standpoint. They're anywhere from 8 to 13% trainers, but Harper's Gem has been exclusively on the synthetic here since November, and he has seemingly improved, and I think you get a chance here at a price. If you need, $25, $28, the 8 is your horse.
Sounds like it. That those improvers, sometimes there's no limit. They just continue stair-stepping up in form, and the surface could also just have a ton to do with it. Interesting way to go here. Whoever wins, there's going to be a lot of people cheering. I'm pretty sure about that because people have different needs at this point, and all those people on the outside looking in, they just need to get that winner to get the goal, which is to continue play meaningful in anger play tomorrow rather than having to settle for the consolation tournament. But we're going to find out so much more in just a couple of minutes. We'll watch this race. It'll be, yesterday, 5 or 10 minutes before we had the final. And then we'll try to take a quick look through these semifinals before we sign off. And then what's the schedule for tomorrow, Steve? We'll be back same bat time, or
I would imagine. I'm just looking. The final table starts at 4:40 Eastern. That's the first race, the Gulfstream 10th, 4:40 Eastern. And in terms of the cards, basically races 1 through 7 at Gulfstream, 1 through 6 at Tampa, 1 through 6 at Laurel, 1 through 5 at Fairgrounds and Aqueduct, and 1 through 3 at Oaklawn. So, just looking at the time, probably If we were to start, let's see, if we were to start again at 2, that would put us in about the fifth race. That would give us, a, yeah, that's, a, that's
right.
about typical what we did last year.
Let's do the last hour of the semifinal round.
Be a little bit more than that, I think, actually, if we go, let's see, the Oaklawn, let's take a look at the Oaklawn third, which will be the last race of the semifinal. They're getting behind the gate at, that would be 3:25, so it would give us about an hour and a half. So let's, I think that probably makes sense.
Couple of fun stories, too, to follow along the way. The folks alive for the $1 million bonuses. As of now, on the right side of the cut, Steve DeCaspers playing for $1 million bonus in 16th, 215.60. And I think there are a couple others live. Yep, Joe Rosen still on the right side, 43rd place, 193.30. That's a good one. Just seeing some other fun names of note scrolling through. Chris Felica up there. Basil DeVito in the house, super popular player on the right side of the line. And bonus-wise, that's what we got on the right side of the line right now. So the insurance man probably feeling pretty good that there's none of them up there in the top 10 at this point. But Paul Matisse could still launch in there with the $500,000 bonus he's playing for from Santa Anita. And just a quick update on Dave Gutfreund. 169th tied all the way up to 148.80
from zero.
Big day on the $6 million entry, but who knows if he even has a bullet left here, and he's going to need to cash it pretty big, but he might still be drawing live regardless of what happens. Amazing performance from him to not let the negativity of yesterday get him down and to come out here firing and to have a more than respectable show on day two. Props to our man DG.
Board has not changed appreciably. There's basically three horses, the six, Kapitar, 2-1. 3-1 on the two, Maddie's Thunderbird. 5-1 on both, Ready Eddie, the 7, and the 1, Beat the Chalk. And the horse we identified as a potential play, Harper's Gem, was it 7? Now just ticked back up to 8-1. And I think Hot and Nutty is... getting in the gate now, and we're ready for our last of the day, Golden Gate.
Heat Things Up gets the first call, but doesn't go to the lead. Kopitar, the favorite, away a little bit sluggishly, and he's at the back of the field now. Looks like Harper's Gem is the pace setter early from Hot and Naughty away in second. Reuben James is rushing up to be part of the pace, and so is Beat the Chalk. They're scrimmaging for early position. Beat the Chalk on the inside with the gray Reuben James, Harper's Gem, and also Ready Eddie joining the party up front. There's four of them across the track on the lead as they enter the far turn. Maddie's Thunderbird in the fifth position. Hot and Naughty shuffled back to sixth to run with Baby You Got It. A length and a half back to the two trailers, Kopitar, outside of Heat Things Up. They're compact rounding the far turn, just four lengths from front to back. Beat the Chalk on the inside and the party up front with Reuben James and a 3-deep Harper's Gem who's dropping back. Passed by Ready Eddie coming off the turn. Hot and Naughty about 8 wide swinging for home. He's trying to move with Kopitar. Down the stretch, it's Kopitar. Hot and Naughty trying to keep going with him. Beat the Chalk is struggling a bit after that fast pace. It's Kopitar with the lead. Maddie's Thunderbird's coming up the inside with a dangerous rally. Kopitar, Maddie's Thunderbird to the finish. Maddie's Thunderbird on the inside for the rail skimming ride by Juan Hernandez. Gets the job done, defeating Kopitar and Beat the Chalk. Then Hot and Naughty.
Adam,
Harper's
just
Gem
gets
was fifth.
Just gets the nose up on the line there for a second if he's stuck with the six.
Yeah, absolutely. The two 2-1s end up, and this had a lot of drama to it. They went fast early.
Yeah, they sure did. Set up that late run, the sluggish start. Wasn't that big of a problem in the end, but boy, three really close, lots of chances in there, and now it's just hurry up and wait, see who had what, and see who's going to advance. He's going to deign to talk to us now. MrLoneSpeed.com is going to deign to talk to us now. You're feeling better about your chances of having advanced?
A live thing.
You are live on
Justin
at
Duke
the races.
Joining us.
The first time that I was on Steve Bick's radio show was Derby Week, 2007, and I almost got fired.
I previewed this.
So can I tell the story?
Yeah, go ahead.
I almost got fired one day into my job as an on-site blogger at KentuckyDerby.com because a private clocker told me that Hard Spun was sore and stiff and not training very well. And
oh
I wrote
God.
It on KentuckyDerby.com just like I just said it right now.
Oh, my God.
And it stayed up on the site for a day, and Larry Jones, eventually the owner, caught wind of it, Porter, And I got pulled into the office at Churchill Downs, and they said, you can't write things like this. And I said, well, it was up 24 hours. You could have taken it down. And they didn't take it down. And then they finally took it down. And I got, I think I got 7 or 8 talking twos that day about how you can't say things like that about horses. And I said, look, I didn't say I saw it. I wouldn't know one horse. I wouldn't know an 8 claimer from a grade 1 winner on the track. I don't know what I'm looking at. I just wrote what a private clocker told me. And Steve graciously had me on his show, and that was the beginning of my radio career. And here we are today, almost 12 years later, and I'm on his show for the second time.
That's
here at the NHC.
Funny. That's pretty funny. Better circumstances this time. It looks like you'll be playing tomorrow. You're feeling real good? I mean, I can't see the cut line moving all the way up to where you are. You have about 195?
Yep.
Excellent. What went right today?
I had a couple things. I had a horse at Tampa, the 5, first-time starter. 2 works at a training center I'd never heard of in my entire life. Horse's name was Zorb or something like that.
Yeah.
11 or so to 1. And I said, you know what? I watched the simulcast feed, and the horse kind of took off from the pony. And I said, you know what? There's something going on with this horse. And it won. And what put me to where I am now is the Zito horse at Oaklawn.
Yep.
At something. It was a cap horse.
Yep.
2 races at Saratoga. Zito had, I think it was in the form, he was 1-for-2 at Oakland for the meet. And I said, I'm going to treat it like a first-time starter with maybe a little extra experience. It's my last bullet. Why not? I like Nick Zito. Big fan of Louis Couture's back in the day. Zito was always very easy to approach at Keeneland. I've always liked him. I said, why not? And I knew the ownership group, Monterosso, whatever it's called. That's wrong. That's the name of the Dubai World Cup winner for Godolphin. But whatever the name of the ownership group was,
Moss.
I recognized it.
Mrs. Moss.
Yeah. So I played it, and I was downstairs in the race book because I couldn't handle the emotion of being up here. And I went down there, and everybody in the room was like, nah, you didn't get the photo. And I said, man, I think I got the photo because the camera's at a weird angle. And the cameraman showed the horse galloping back to the winner's circle, and I was like, I think I got this, and I had it.
That's great.
And my friends at the table said, you better get up here. Your horse just won. That put me, and I had 2 shots after that and blanked with them both. And
that's when you got very stressed.
I did. I started drinking vodka. Can we say that on the air here? I just burned through all my 5 drink tickets here in the last 90 minutes. And it's been an emotional thing for me, Pete and Steve. It's been, I barely made it into this contest. I qualified on January 13th. You guys, I think, plugged the article I wrote on Lone Speed about where I was. I was hanging out with my kids that day and trying to do my best to qualify, and it happened. And I once again have exceeded my own expectations. I just wanted to come here and not embarrass myself. And I'm not going to forget this, Pete. I qualified on a Sunday. I talked to you on the phone on a Friday, and I said, I don't think I'm ever going to qualify. And 48 hours later, I qualified. And I'm like, I need to talk to Pete Fortitail every day for the rest of my life. Even if I'm talking about my job or my kids or whatever I'm talking about, talking to that man
got the rub.
Over the top.
You got the rub. What can I say? I'm very happy. I really enjoyed that piece, and I've enjoyed a lot of the work over at the website.
Thanks.
And you're doing some writing also over at Horse Racing Nation, right?
Yeah, I am. They've been great. They kind of they're sort of running with the Lone Speed brand. The blog is called the Lone Speed Blog, and they have the logo on the website. And they've been everything I submit to them, they publish. And they say, hey, anytime you want to submit something, submit it. And I submit it, and I'll probably write something tonight once I sober up a little bit. And I'm going to go get dinner with the Bet PTC crew here at 7 o'clock downstairs.
How much work have you done for tomorrow?
0.
Okay.
Literally 0. I don't even know what the mandatories are. I haven't looked at a thing.
All right. Don't make it a late dinner.
There's no mandatories.
That's right.
You get to make 10 options.
Yes, I forgot about that. It's rare that I'm speechless, and I don't know what. I guess I'm technically not speechless.
Yeah, I was
right
going to say, if this counts as speechless,
yeah, right.
Well,
it does for me. Steve follows me
really
on social media, and
chatting.
I've gotten some text messages from Steve Bick, and he follows my social media posts. But yeah,
Paul Sherman coming by to say, come sit, Paul.
Oh, Sherman, and
oh,
it's got to be close.
10 cents behind, and you had the winner or the second. And he had the winner.
Unbelievable.
I mean, you're in.
Unbelievable.
Yeah, Paul Sherman.
Unbelievable.
The skin of his teeth. Gets through. This is going to be fascinating to see what happens here. Give us a little bit of an overview of what the blog is all about and let people know where they can find you and what's going on there.
LoneSpeed.com in the 5 or 6 months it's been up has turned into exactly what I did not want it to be, which is a personal blog. there were four or five people who said, I'll write for you, I'll do this, I'll do this, and sometimes life gets in the way, and
sure.
I've had a few guys write some stuff, but for the most part, it's just been my ramblings about value and my observations, which are, you know, from afar. So I enjoy it. It's fun. I don't know how I got the domain name loanspeed.com.
It's a pretty good one.
That is stunned good. That
it's
it
like
was available.
Derby Trail. I was amazed I got Derby Trail.
Yeah. But, it, you know, I don't know what that'll turn into. I'm a software salesman by trade, and I just started a new job, so I spend most of my time doing that. And, you know, I don't know if LoanSpeed will ever become anything. It would be great if I could be like you gentlemen and make my living in horse racing. I think anybody who loves the sport would love to make their living in horse racing. I'm not sure I'd be able to do that, but, you know, it's been fun doing that. This event has been fun. I enjoy the podcast. I enjoy the radio show.
Thank you.
And I think you guys do a great job.
Thank you, buddy.
Congratulations.
Godspeed tomorrow.
Thank well
you.
Done.
Don't stay out too late. That's my biggest advice is,
I'm still on East Coast time. I was up at, I think, 4:18 this morning. I was up at 2:56 a.m. the day before that.
Yeah.
So
water and coffee are your best friends right now.
But see, I can't drink caffeine. That's a whole other story. Well, right now it's vodka, and sooner it'll be water and bedtime. The gym at 6 a.m. here at Treasure Island opened at 6:02 today, and we'll attack tomorrow.
I must have just missed
well
you.
Done.
Godspeed, my friend.
Thank you.
Also. Justin Dew, good job.
All right.
Too nice.
Very, well very cool. And Paul Sherman looks like he will be competing tomorrow. That's good, big news as well.
And
what's
Adam,
Keith saying?
Adam is...
Adam should be okay.
He ran second.
Yeah, yeah. That he just got that nose photo. That's going to be enough to get him over. Unless something shocking were to happen. So Keith was just talking. Did you hear if he gave us a time frame?
No.
On when we're going to have this? Well, we should probably try to stick around, yeah?
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Good. Get it covered. But a lot of, again, that nervous energy is here. But I think at this point, I feel like most people are knowing where they stand. It's going to be those last couple of people who were on the right side of the cut who didn't have plays. That horrible hurry up and wait. Justin was going through a version of it. He was always going to be fine at 195. But there are definitely going to be some people. So there's going to be some bad stories, some tough beat stories in about whatever it in X minutes when we find out the information here. Such a tight band. I mean, just looking at it again. With 56th is 185, and then all the way down to 64th at 183. Steve doing some improving
doing,
the gallery
doing,
here.
Doing the paparazzi act, which I'm good at. I happen to like doing it. And there we go. Let me get some light on you guys.
This is how the sausage is made.
Exactly.
Oh, that's all excellent
right.
stuff.
There we go. There we go. Maddie's Thunder 680 and 360, so $10.40. For those that went in that direction.
Yeah, that's an amazing amount at this point. I mean, that's going to move you 20 places. It's crazy how tight it gets. That's the effect of having the giant full field, that compression of the leaderboard that we see at the end. That's going to lead to somebody having a really good night by a dime and somebody having a really rotten night by a dime. Because, of course, if you make the semis, you cash in this tournament, too. So there's real financial consequences
here as well.
That's right.
That's right. In fact, somewhere on the table there is the list of what the pay down is. That's today's day rate, day money.
It's all very incremental, and it starts probably pretty low, 5,000-ish. But, I mean, hey, pretty low. 5,000 is still 5,000. And people here are going to be winning and losing thousands by a dime. That's kind of a normal thing in horse racing, but they're going to feel it very acutely because of the interpersonal nature of the competition here at Treasure Island. We are at the end of day two, moving day. Very soon we're going to have the information on who the 67 or perhaps 68 players who move on to tomorrow are going to be. I'll text Skiba. He's been texting me. I'll text him and see if he did anything in the last. See what he says. Some of the players we've been following, it'll be interesting to get the end of the story, or the end of the chapter, hopefully, as they'll go on to compete tomorrow for the big money. Keith is up there looking studious.
He just was on the phone, and we're kind of watching to see what if that maybe meant he was a harbinger. Boy, Skiba went into the last three races right on the cut line.
Yeah, it's going to be tough unless he cashed.
He's the other story we haven't pushed is Randy Gallo getting within $10 of Gilbert.
Yeah, that is amazing. What a day from him. There's a familiar face. I was sure you'd spun us. The people's champion, Jonathan Kinchin. What's up, my man?
Did you text me to come over here? I didn't know.
No. I just, it's a standing offer. How you doing, buddy? What's going on?
What's going on, fellas?
So, how was your day?
Not good. We couldn't find none of us, really. I mean, I was the worst, so I'm not trying to drag everybody else down. Luckily, Marshall Graham's doing really well, so rooting like heck for him. Anti-rooting like heck for somebody else. And then, Paul was pretty close on the border. Duke had some success but didn't get there. John Nichols, I mean, no one in the crew, Chick, nobody.
Nobody broke out. There was no breakout.
You know, what's funny is, like, and the prices came today, but they weren't the type of price horses that I find. Like, they were, like, the real senseless ones. They were the ones with no angles, right? Like, just the ones that JJ's... You know, there's the four horse that won it at 27-1 in the mandatory at Oaklawn. Senseless.
We got to tell you a story about that horse. So Preston Sims, before that race, comes up to me, just hands me a piece of paper. I figure it's a ticket. I figure I'll look at it later. Halfway through the Oaklawn race, I turn it over. It's a bet on that horse, 20-1. He loved the horse.
Well, Blake Jesse played the horse.
Yeah.
And I think it might have got him the cut. I don't know for sure, but...
So you think Paul Matisse is not advancing?
No, I know Paul's not.
Okay.
Paul's not. Duke didn't. Keith Smith, part of the crew, was right there on the edge. The man in black is going to probably make it.
Yes, James Henry is in, I'm sure. Frank McGoey?
No.
Did not get through.
Tony Joe, no.
Yeah, that's too bad. Tony had such a good day one. It's hard to string it together. Garrett Skiba's an interesting one to follow.
He's, like, on the line right now.
If he's on the line now, he's out. I mean, too many people are going to have hit that.
I know.
I thought maybe he had a bullet.
He was on the line at some point. He was, like, literally tied with the cut.
Yes, that was the last.
He won't make it.
Yeah, that's not going to get it done. Marshall.
Marshall was, I sat next to him, like, seat next to me. He's been amazing the entire weekend.
Yeah.
He was hitting yesterday. He was hitting today.
He had some of your senseless horses.
He didn't have the four that was 27-1 in Oakland. But a lot of guys will zig and zag in this contest, and it ends up not working out. The year that I did pretty good, I kind of zigged and zagged too, and both of them just kind of kept climbing. That's the same thing that's been happening to Marshall all day.
He's going to have two.
We've been joking. His good and his bad have flipped probably like seven times. You know, did you have your good one? And he laughs. Well, it was my bad one, but now it's my good one.
Now it's my good one.
It kept coming back and forth.
How about the bear? Chris Felica looks like he'll be playing tomorrow.
I saw him. He hit a horse in the middle of the day at 33-1. I saw him celebrating, so...
And how about, we're always rooting for the World Horse Players Tour final table, guys. Tom Arndt, here's Keith. Let's see what he has to say.
Momentarily,
says he. That rumor was true. He put them all in at the same time, Robert Gilbert, 11:30 a.m. Keith just confirmed the rumor that Ron Flatter had said on these airwaves within the last hour.
Where did he go? That's what I want to know.
He's a real player. I bet he went to his room to play in peace, but... $184.20. So let the celebrations and disappointments begin here in the ballroom.
There it is. It's official, and Adam made it. Adam Aiken's the last.
Let's get the bubble boy over here.
Adam Aiken is the last.
That's gonna do Garrett.
That was funny. That was great. That was tremendous.
That was very cool that he came and shared that with us. And that was by the nose photo, the gray that got second. The nose at Golden Gate. That's the difference between him and, whomever making it across.
Let's take a look here at the end at the last pages so that we get a feel for who the heartbreak kids might be, and also let's celebrate those that did manage. Marshall, there's his second one, 193. Tom Martin, you mentioned 193. Into the
there.
There you go. There's Felica. Dino Herrera. Blake Jesse.
Blake on the good side of the line.
That there wasn't a lot of movement from these guys from this page. 50 the 50s to the 60s. Peter Dace, Mike Tomats, and Adam Aiken are your last three. Robert Reedy got pushed out. He had been in good stead for a while. Robert Gilbert, 289. Randy Gallo, 279.80. He made up $40 on the leader in the last three, four races.
Yeah, Gilbert was looking like he was going to go in a cap ahead at one point. And he's got a real horse race now.
Yeah, I'll tell you this. One of the disappointing things about this contest the last 5 years is whoever was leading going into the final table has won. It'd be nice to see some movement in the final table.
We've been talking about it all day and different ways that you might be able to get a little bit more excitement. And, you know, you really are going to have two way ahead of the field with Gilbert and Gallo. But last year's winner, Chris Littlemore, being back at the final table, that's wild. Christian Helmer's bidding to become the first guy to win the Horse Player World Series and this event. That's an interesting story to follow. We got a couple guys with million-dollar bonuses attached looking to advance the final table. Leo coming to say hello.
He's heading back. No.
Oh, next year I'll ride with you. I couldn't make it happen this year. We had a great ride through the desert.
Here,
back
come take
to
a picture
LA
with Jonathan.
Year.
Come over here. With the, come on.
Mom hit.
There we go.
Yeah, get it. Let's go. There we go.
That's awesome. Leo, one of the good guys, the Santa Anita regular we were talking before. We heard, Leo, we heard that you and Florine, had you talked, would have hit the rainbow today.
Huh?
We heard that you and Florine should have hit the rainbow today.
No, he was live.
Oh, he was,
No, we played two different tickets.
Oh, amazing.
Leo Vukmanovic, one of the great, one of the real great personalities on the West Coast, so much fun. Let's get back up here. The course, let's see if the online page has now been updated.
We can give the heartbreak stories. Oh, I really thought we were going to have three from the Horse Players Tour final table make it. I was going to be excited about that. Tom Arn holds up the side, though. And
it is. It's updated.
Oh, great. And so maybe I'm also curious if Justin Mustari hit in the last, he would have had a chance to advance. And he's always an interesting story because of his age. I mean, how cool is that to see a 23, 24-year-old kid in this thing?
It's always exciting. I think when you walk into this room, no offense, but the average age is not close to Justin's age, right?
Right.
So when you see the young guys doing it, it's always encouraging for the sport is going to, who's going to carry the torch. So good to see those guys involved. I saw Mike Mulvihill's name. He's alive for a bonus, I think. Always
yes.
Root for him.
One of the good guys on the Chicago crew. All right, we'll go over the heartbreak situations here. Matthew Schwade, 183.60, ends up missing by 60 cents. That's a bummer. 80 cents to the bad, Kevin Willett. Robert Reedy doesn't miss by much at all. Boy, he was there for so much of the last 2 days. That's kind of a disgusting beat. Then in those guys who were tied for the bubble, Halazoo and Skiba end up tied for 71st, 182.20. And, yeah, anybody in there. I mean, the band is so tight. You go all the way back to 80th, it's just 180. I would have told you this morning that was, very much of a fighting chance to get there. But there were just so many bombs today. It pushed that cut line up to a record high. Been 175 or so the last 2 years. This year you needed to get all the way to 184.20. That's a significant $9. And if you're not finding the kind of long shots that come in, you're going to be on the outside looking in. But what happens? You played in so many tournaments now, JK. Do you feel? Are you feeling profound disappointment right now? Are you still able to say, "Hey, I had a good time hanging out with my friends," and feel vicariously happy for your boys, Blake Jesse and Marshall Graham? Where's your head at right now?
Yeah, well, so I think that the biggest thing is in these contests. Like, I was pulled to this game because I'm like grossly competitive. Like, I don't like losing. Whether we're arguing about you know, what we're going to eat dinner. I just don't enjoy losing. It's a weakness of mine. So, you know, I don't never want to show up somewhere and not do well. But it is what it is, right? Like, this contest is not easy. It is a very difficult contest. And the nature of the contest puts a lot of restrictions on you from, you know, like Steve talked about the other day when we was on our show, and he's talking about how the contest kind of messed up his handicapping a little bit. Like, you have to pick and build around horses in this setting if you want to try to win the $800,000. That might not be, like, the best place for you to be. And, you know, today I probably had six top choices win at, like, 3-1, 5-1. But I was never in position to play those horses.
Right.
So I'm playing other horses. And you know, it can be frustrating, but no, I just didn't. You know, you got to be really hot, and you got to get really lucky, and neither one of those things happened for me.
Did you bet cash?
I bet the pick six.
How'd that go? One and done?
Yeah, the first leg. I didn't have that 50-1 shot.
It was tricky.
But I did though. It's very sick because I ice cold singled the Chad in the last. Which I'm not, but he was not like a Chad that like everyone thought was going to win. The race looked like there were some other opportunities, and so I singled there, but I missed the first leg. They know.
It's one of those things. We were talking about it. It seemed it had to really chalk out for it to pay as little as 100 with those first two winners.
Yeah, I'm not trying to conspiracy theory on Steve's show, but I feel like guys, trainers are pointing to that bet. I feel like trainers point to that bet.
It's interesting.
I just think that I just you know, that horse like galloped. He won by three. He was 50-1.
But yeah. he was also let on an easy lead. I mean, he was his ears twitching. He was loping along, and you know, these are cheap horses, and riders figure, oh, he'll come back to the pack.
Fair.
But there were some. We had the guy that hit twice. There's a guy from Canada, from Toronto.
That's what I heard.
He sat with us, and he said he saw that horse train. And he said, you know what, horse fit. And he said he saw him on track, said, looked okay, warming up. He used him. He said five or six. He used five or six in that race.
I think he said he used five, and that was one. Barry Kerbel,
the guy
from Toronto, who horse owner, and seems like a real guy. Seems like he likes the fire.
I saw a guy downstairs that hit and lost money.
What?
Seriously.
Wait a second.
Yeah?
What? Tell me this story. How do you do that?
I was told they bet 130. They hit for 100. They lost 30. And that was from them. They told me that. Like, not. I didn't hear it. Like, hearsay.
That's insane. I mean, you think you might be able to shave a few horses off that ticket for a 20-cent minimum?
Wow.
You know.
Wow.
That is pretty funny.
My 75 feels fabulous right now. And you know, let's add up. I'm going to add up Santa Anita from last week. I put in 100, 75 today. I'm still up. I didn't lose 30.
Oh my God!
There you go.
Can you imagine?
But I am with every passing weekend more against that bet, and it's awful presence in the sport.
Preaching to the choir.
It is. It is just. It's.
It takes advantage of people that I cut my teeth at the racetrack with. You know, like, you know, my dad used to take me to the track with all of his buddies that they got off of work, and they went there and they had a couple beers and they bet exacta boxes. And bets like this, I could see those guys getting so excited about the carryover and trying their little $60 ticket, their $80 ticket. And we're taking advantage of those people. And I get it. Congratulations. The handle's up. That's great. But it's not what's best for the game in the long run.
Yeah, it's you know? Marketed very cynically, which is unfortunate. This
guy,
Steve made fun of it. You know, the chance at a life changing score. It's like, great. You know,
I love the big
shot. My
awesome.
Man Dino, the two of you, the two of you, yeah. Dino Beccari and Jonathan Kinchin. Together again for the first time, and if ever there were two kindred spirits, it's these two.
I love it.
Right? What are you up to?
I don't know what's going. I don't know what's going on here, but it's entertaining. It's entertaining.
He is the greatest.
Steve's a celebrity.
He is, deservedly so. Nobody works harder. And as I always say, and now he's not listening, so I can say it quickly, no better way to quickly become an insider in this game than to listen to him. And the way that the guests talk to him much more frankly, I think, than really anybody else.
100%.
So you get some.
I'm going to go zip lining tonight, I think.
Oh, that's fun.
The down, you know, the little downtown thing.
You into this? No, no.
So great. Good job. Good job.
That's awesome.
All
right.
Is this a barrel?
Yeah. He ran good today. There's a Marvin update if anybody wants to hear.
Is he coming tomorrow?
Marv was tipping the five all day. He's really mad Paul didn't use the five in the Santa Anita mandatory. If you don't know Marvin, I don't know if Steve's had him on yet. He was there last year.
Tomorrow. We'll
Marv
tomorrow.
Loves the five.
Yes.
He just wants to bet the five all the time.
Oh, okay.
So and he's very disappointed that Paul didn't listen to him and take the five.
Oh, man. Who winds that kid up in the morning?
He is like that 24/7. And then you should see him when he's really tuned up. You can imagine.
He's
unbelievable. He is
a real introvert.
Oh my God, he's the greatest. Dino Bakari, folks. You can't keep him down for long. Just like JK.
I'm a full Marshall Graham route from here on out.
All right.
That's my selection.
And you mentioned there were some that fell by the wayside that no tears will be shed.
Yeah. Well, no. There's no. I'm just. I don't very often anti-root. I've got an anti-root.
Did you read what I wrote about that situation?
The anti-root situation.
Yeah. Did you read what I wrote? I'll share it with you and the listeners. And I threw in a bonus Rickroll to the column. Let me see if I can. I can't remember if it was in the first piece I wrote or the second one. A couple pieces that I wrote recapping day one up on InTheMoneyPodcast.com. But here it is. Speaking of horse players, cast member Christian Helmers currently sits in fourth. His reputation is more of a live bank player, but he's seeking an elusive double, trying to become the first person to win both the NHC and Horse Player World Series. It would be an incredible achievement for a player whose resume is already very impressive. Over the years, Helmers has accused me of everything from having it out for him to ruining tournaments to the Kennedy assassination. He even made what some have called the most boring video in the history of the internet about me. But sometimes you just have to give a guy his props.
Garrett Skiba is the best live bankroll contest player in the history of this game. No question, not even close.
It's hard to argue with that. But my Rickroll was, I put the thing about the most boring video in the history of the internet, I put a hyperlink, and I sent them right to Rick Astley. And people were complaining. I was like, that's what you get. That's what you get for clicking on that link. Anyway, it'll be fun. I mean, the guy's a great player. You do have to give him his props, and he's certainly drawn live for a shot at the final table.
Okay.
But the big story, Robert Gilbert, Randy Gallo, what days they both had.
When I find him, I'm going to ask him what he did all day. I want it to be something good, like he was, he's at a dispensary, he was at the pool, I want it to be a good story. He pick and prayed the thing. He came in, popped them all in, and left.
I mean, it worked for him yesterday. Why do anything different? But, I mean, he's a serious horse player. I've talked to him. And the reason horse players came up in that article in the first place was that's how he got into it at the age of 60. He saw that and then decided, hey, I've been playing horses. Why don't I play tournaments?
That's awesome.
He's an interesting dude.
Well, I'm rooting like heck for him and whoever's in second, whoever's in third, whoever's in fourth, whoever's in sixth, seventh, eighth, ninth, tenth, 11th, 12th. I'll keep going. I'm rooting for all of them.
We get the picture. Oh, my goodness. It'll be fun to see. It's going to be a really interesting day. I'm hoping we finally get the sort of fireworks that the final table has promised but not yet delivered. That will be really fun tomorrow.
Well, getting Gallo in striking range, it goes a long way toward that because as you've taught me, the ability in those late stages in the semifinals and then in the final table to basically, you know, hold everybody off with a whip and a chair and basically play the four corners, more or less.
Is there any weather tomorrow or none?
Santa Anita, I've got to check and see what the latest is.
There was some rain forecast, which would be very scary for the last race of the contest.
The last race is down the hill.
Oh, they'll take it off. They don't mess around on it.
No, they can't. They absolutely can't.
We're worried about that.
Let's hear. Hold on, I'll tell you right away. Right away. Not to worry. You don't worry. We're going to take care of everything.
I like it. But it should be a very entertaining day.
52% chance. No, 63% chance.
And I'm very interested to see. We'll with a fresh brain, we'll look at it in the morning. We'll start guessing about what that cut line is going to be for the final table. And we'll see who's already, I mean, I'm pretty sure Gilbert and Gallo are there. And we'll see who else is going to be joining them as we start to push our way through the day tomorrow. What do you think, Steve? Are we about ready to wrap this?
We are, I think. Situation? Unless there's anything, have we missed anything?
Any stories you want to talk about?
I think I got an After Dark story. I'll save it for the podcast.
Oh, that's not fair. Don't be saving all your best stuff for
you. It's easier to tell it here.
All right. This morning I woke up like 5:30. I went to the Starbucks outside. That's the one to go to. What's the only one that's open?
It's the only one that's open.
I'm coming back inside.
Yeah.
I'm walking by the bar, and there's a young woman that's like sitting by the slot machine, and she says, "Excuse me," and I was like, I know this routine.
Yes.
I was like, no. I'm about to go handicap. Like, I'm good. She's like, no. I'm just trying to meet a friend. I just need to get up the elevator if you don't mind helping me out. Whatever. I don't care what you're doing. I'll be the elevator. You look like a harmless person. So I said, sure. So I walk. She's walking with me to the elevator. And then I think to myself, oh, no. What if someone sees me walking? No one saw me. I led her to the elevator. I went in a second, but I got very nervous.
That was extremely dumb.
It was like 5:30 in the morning.
Extremely dumb. What is wrong with you? You born yesterday?
I was just trying to be nice and helpful. Karma.
I did my only story, not nearly as interesting as that, but I did see you talked about the bench when you go to the 5:30 Starbucks. One pink high heel sitting on the bench, or it was more like a dance slipper. Apparently, Cinderella staying at the Treasure Island.
I told you that bench outside is something special.
There's
always happening there.
There's a lot going on. There's a lot going on.
Well, it's been a absolute riot, and if I'm not mistaken, looking at the clock, did we do 7 hours?
I think we did. Yep, we did seven. We're going on eight here. We came on at 2, and it's 9.
Casey, do we have that right? Was this an 8-hour affair or 7-hour affair? You know what? I'm worried. Casey has not responded at all. So Casey,
he might be slumped over
exactly,
the console at this point.
It's exactly right. He's running out of hard drive space, so we got to call it. Absolutely. 7 hours confirmed by KCG back in the studio. And Casey, with a phenomenal job dialing up
all these
race calls.
Always does a great
really
job.
Spectacular. And tomorrow we'll do more of the same. 2 o'clock until we crown a champion. And hope you'll come along for day 3 from the Treasure Island in Las Vegas. And I can't even list everybody who was here today. Who was here?
It was too many.
Guys, I love you guys. Someone just texted me they have 2 extra tickets to the Golden Knights. I got to go.
Ooh,
cheers, buddy.
Look
That's
at that.
Awesome.
Nice.
That's a fine.
The toughest ticket
cheers,
in town. Your man, what? Your pal, was he on? I'm going to put up a picture. I don't blame you.
Have fun at the hockey.
Have fun.
We'll see you guys
tomorrow.
Look at
that. They're off to the Golden Knights, which has been a great. I could have had from the
Review Journal.
Review Journal, and I couldn't quickly fold him in. I wanted to talk to him about the Golden Knights. Peter Dressens. you want to be the closing words.
We're basically out, but a valedictory.
I have no voice here anymore.
I hear you.
You have a fun day?
I had a great time because one of my table mates, Paul Sherman, he was a dime out.
Yep.
And he just bet the horse to win the last race at Golden Gate that was going to win, and it did.
He's a bullet saver, and that's why he does it.
And he moved up 20 spots on a 2-to-1 shot.
That's amazing.
Yeah,
but that's
it was
how
so condensed.
It gets so tight. That's
what we talked about. We talked about it.
Some others to mention who hit that last race who were also on today, Adam Eichen and Bobby Shoemaker, who got just over the hump to make it and advance to play tomorrow. You'll be in the consolation?
Console tomorrow, yeah. I didn't have a good
back
weekend.
Tomorrow? Back tomorrow.
One good cap horse, but that was it.
It's tough. Today was the kind of day where one cap horse was not necessarily enough.
No, not if you were in a hole.
Oh, there were some big prices today. If I had altered my wages a little bit, I would have been okay. I won money gambling.
A lot of people did. A lot of people did. Leo did. Leo Vukmanovic said he had a great day at the Windows.
Well, yeah. I mean, that counts. So,
I backed up my picks and trifectas and stuff, and I got a lot of thirds.
Well, there you go.
That's
actually smart. Yeah. I never really thought about that in this tournament, but I like that idea. That's worth including in a future article about the NHC. How to deal with the frustration of running third all the time? Well, bottom-up tri-key.
Right, something like that.
That's it. The Kenny Kirkner, as we call it.
That's right.
The Ken Kirkner.
That one will live on. Okay, anyway, thanks so much,
Peter.
Great to see you, buddy.
Always great.
So good to see you again. Pete, you're looking great, man.
Thank you, my friend.
That's been the revelation of the NHC.
Hey, if you can run, you're going to lose weight.
There you go.
I think it's a total life management. It's a new Pete.
We'll get you over here tomorrow. We'll talk. I need to pick your brain about some marathon stuff. I know you have some experience.
I do. Whatever you want from me, Peter.
Good deal, buddy. Okay. Have a great night.
Thanks so much.
Peter Dressens, everybody. One of the real bright lights on the contest scene. Well, that'll do it from Treasure Island here in Las Vegas. Day two in the books, NTRA.com. If you want to look through the leaderboard yourself, I'll put up a bunch of pictures as well and thank everybody. We'll congratulate, by the way, Woodbine Dawn Lupel, who won the contest.
Oh, nice work.
Great job by Dawn. She hit that big hit the nice price at Santa Anita to close it out. And Frank Angst, who I think has been second or third in this thing like seven years in a row.
Yeah, that's
so good job by Frank and everybody. And we thank Tito's for sponsoring and giving $5,000 to the PDJF, the Permanently Disabled Jockeys Fund. PDJF.org for more information. And Pete, thanks so much.
Thank you, my friend.
Well done.
Let's do it one more time.
Why not? We'll come back tomorrow. We've come this far. Thanks to Casey, of course, as well. And if you missed anything, it'll turn up on the archive. Good night.
The latest racing news. It's At the Races with Steve Vick on Sirius XM Radio.